Welcome to Rise Above the Ashes podcast, where we break down the art of failure and learn why multiple failures equals true success if you just don't give up. In this podcast, we go deep with our guests to find out how they overcome some of the greatest obstacles in their lives and what makes them tick as a human being. Learn here how you can turn your failures into true success. Everybody, welcome Kimberly Zahasky. She is the professional optimist, a serial entrepreneur. She really knows her craft and business. So I wanted to welcome Kimberly here to talk to her about her life and what she's doing. So welcome, Kimberly. How are you doing today?
Wonderful. Thanks so much for having me today. I'm excited to kind of get to know your audience and see how I can be of a service and just to get to know you more since we just met recently ourselves.
Yeah. You want to tell everybody where we met?
Sure. We met at called STRU Live. So the great Richard Fertig has a great YouTube channel and podcast about short-term rental university. And both Brendan and I are short-term rental investors and dabble in a few different little things. And so we met each other at his seminar down in Nashville, 2 months ago now or so?
Yeah, I think it was about 2 months ago. It was a fun time. Richard really knows his stuff, and I'm glad to have been there. He inspired me to do more in short-term rentals, honestly. So looking forward to taking that on. But I had a blast there. Had a good time chatting with you for a few minutes and so on. But let's get into this. Why don't you tell me a little bit about your background, if you don't mind?
Absolutely. So, you know, I say I kind of live the average life. I haven't been through anything too tumultuous. I'm a normal person. You know, my parents divorced when I was young. I had some hardships as in like step parent that I didn't really get along with. That was kind of difficult to say the least. I'll just leave it as like, it was difficult and we have a good relationship now. But it caused a lot of trauma as a child. And, you know, it took me a while to recover from that as an adult and have the right perspective on myself and on life of what was possible. But then I grew up and I tried a lot of different things. I went from thinking I was going into ministry, like youth ministry. Then I was a hairstylist and I did interior design. And then I became a nurse and then I got married and had babies and then being a mother. So all kinds of different things. I like to explore. I really enjoy the variety in life. Right. And so that's kind of what it's been about for me is always being curious and seeing how I can use my own personal giftings to grow myself.
Yeah. That's incredible. So you have done a little bit of everything. So you're kind of like a serial entrepreneur, I'm guessing.
Exactly.
Okay. So registered nurse, interior designer, hairstylist, and you were in the religious outlets? What did you say you were doing there?
Yeah, I actually, youth group and youth church group. Actually had a big influence on my life when I was a teenager.
Okay.
So I always thought, oh gosh, if you love God the most, you have to go into the ministry, you know, I went to school for it. And then I ended up feeling more called to business in the midst of it, you know, just meeting people's everyday needs and just feel like you can bring God to any avenue and just love people, you know?
Incredible. So you are a believer. That's just like I am. I greatly appreciate that. Freely spoken.
Yeah, it's a big part of my life. Yep. I just think having somebody in your corner that knows the future and is on your team just gives me such a peace of mind.
Right. So it looks like you're dreaming with God. You've pretty much set your hands to anything that you want to try and you run with it for a little while. And then if your interest changes, you chase that dream next. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think that's definitely been actually one of my strengths over the years is I try to see, you know, what's in front of me, but also looking at what I'm currently doing on a regular basis. I try to be very reflective, either taking time daily, kind of quiet time in the morning, but also getting away about quarterly by myself and just analyzing, hey, what's going right? What isn't really working? There's actually a quote, I don't know if you follow Lewis House, but he had a quote on, I think, Facebook or something. And it said, failure gives you the opportunity to look at what's not working and figure out how to make it work. Mm. So failure is just kind of a red flag of like, hey, something's not really flowing here. How do we adapt and change it? So I regularly look at my life because I believe in crafting one's life. I believe that we have the ability to do that. We have the ability to look at our lives and make changes, even if they're scary. And I look at that regularly, and I am not afraid to change my life. I regularly take action and change things, and I believe that's one of been my greatest strengths and got me to where I am.
Yeah. So you said you're a curious person. Have you ever read the book, Surely You're Joking, Mr. Feynman by Richard Feynman?
I have not. No, I'll have to put it on my list.
It's a good book. It's this gentleman right here. He was a scientist, and he basically had the Nobel Peace, won the Nobel Peace Prize, I believe. And he just, anything he was interested in, he would do. I mean, whether he's playing bongos in his underwear going to, become a professional trumpet player just different things like that. I mean, he's done a lot. He would get in the fist fights just to get in the fist fights. He was chasing his dream of just being interesting, kind of like a Bill Murray type of character, not necessarily like going to do other things professionally, but you might like that book. It's make you laugh a little bit.
Well, I think following your curiosity, in my view, it's kind of like one of the ways that God speaks to me. You know, he crafted me in such a way that if I listen to those curiosities and just dabble or try them a little bit, things seem to happen. And then when you're following kind of what you're meant to be doing, you become like a magnet and you draw the right things and the right people to you. So I think it's just kind of part of the process.
Exactly. Well, I completely agree. So right now, you're currently the co-owner of Blue River Chiropractic. Is your husband the other co-owner?
Yep, he's a chiropractor, and I'm a registered nurse by education. So I do all the out and about. I do the networking. I do our marketing. I lead our team. So I do what I find fun, and he does what he finds fun. So it works really well.
Okay, and you're
been doing that for about 10 years.
Right. Okay. Great. And you're also co-owner of a local expo, the Madison Family Fest, where 4,000 people come into annual attendance. And it's been going on for, 8 years? Is that correct?
Yeah. So it was the Natural Family Expo for a number of years. But okay. Like I said, we're constantly adapting and improving. And so we're going more of a festival atmosphere. So we're rebranding this year to Madison Family Fest from the Natural Family Expo. Just to kind of dig in more of what Madison, Wisconsin has to offer. It's a great city to live in. There's great restaurants, great family activities. Just bringing our community together through one big day.
Right, right. And you're exercising your curiosity into real estate as an investor, doing short-term rentals. And are you doing any other kind of avenues right now, or is it just limited to short-term rentals?
I believe in diversification. Right. And obviously, short-term rentals have a lot more work attached to them than like long-term rentals. Just kind of depends on how you look things. So I am planning and working on my financing. I'm doing some long-term rental investing this year. I'm actually getting my realtor's license coming up here in October, just to have as an asset, kind of an asset and tool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and also you're the professional optimist, speaking, coaching, vlogging, and doing this for the last 5 years. I know that's what you've told me is your biggest passion. How do you handle so much how do you handle all the things that you do? I mean, is it pressuring? Is it stressful? Are you excited every day? Or how are you being able to handle all that? It just seems like you got that one thing by Gary Keller. He tells you to just focus on that one thing, but you're finding joy and bliss and exercising your curiosity. Does it ever become like it's a little bit tiring, maybe?
I'll be really honest. Well, part of me somehow, my alarm has gone off. So I definitely think there are times of stress with that. But one thing I've realized about myself is it's just part of my makeup that I like multiple things. Right. Now, I don't believe that you can do everything. And I don't do everything I do to the same level. For instance, with my real estate, I have some of that work subbed out. With the chiropractic office, I have amazing staff. To be honest, we're at the point where they could probably do it without me. I'm there to lead the team. I do some out and about stuff, but we are to the point in our practice where things flow pretty easily. I put enough money into the online marketing and my staff kind of handle the rest. So there's not everything has as much time as it used to in my life. And really when it comes down to like, I've got 3 small children, they're my priority. So at the drop of the hat, I will drop everything if they need me. So It's a lot about constantly looking at where needs attention. Actually, in that book, the one thing by Gary Keller, he has this graph where it shows people who get things done. It's not how people it looks. So there's a straight line, and most people think that balance is like you go back and forth across that straight line and just do little adjustments every day. And you can do that. But he suggests that with real progress and getting into big things, you see those spikes go really far out, kind of like an EKG. It goes really far out, and then you're like, holy crap, I better adjust here. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, my life is a little bit more like that. I do daily look at, okay, what are my core values? What are my goals for this week? I'm constantly assessing and shifting where I'm going to put my time. But I have certain times where I push. For instance, our expo is every March. So like that month before, I'm in crunch time. And that's just kind of how it is, that part of my year. And it comes down to, yes, it is busier, but I know myself. I thrive on having lots of change in my life and I enjoy it. And I would rather have more and build on that momentum, because I actually do really well with that momentum. I tend to get a lot more done rather than being paralyzed by it. So it just works for me. You have to figure out what lifestyle do you want and craft it around that. Now, I definitely do believe in doing less. So there are things that I don't like doing. I don't enjoy cooking. I don't enjoy cleaning. Those are things I sub out or I automate them. I want my kids to eat healthy food. So I have a plan. Like Monday nights, I seriously cook soup every Monday night. It's a different kind of soup. Tuesday night is some sort of taco. Wednesday night is like meat and roasted vegetables, whatever that looks like. But I don't have to make those decisions because I've kind of made an automated system. Mm-hmm. So I believe in eliminating, automating, and then focusing as hard as you can on the things you really love.
I love that. And I love it. Eliminating, automating, and focusing. Okay. Well, I know you probably, you're doing a lot. You're having a fabulous time following your bliss. I understand watching you on Facebook and Instagram and all that, that you are running a lot. So why don't you tell me about why you're running? What made you choose to run every day like you were doing and doing it vigorously?
Well, it's very similar to like when people hear that I'm training for a few ultra marathons. I have a 50K, which is about 31 miles or so, coming here up on October 5th. And then I have a 50-mile ultra marathon on November 9th. And a lot of people's response is like, oh my gosh, I could never do that. Well, that's exactly why I started. It was probably 2-3 years ago, and I had a booth at an expo for my chiropractic business. There was a race expo where people are doing a packet pickup for their like half marathon the next day. And I just started noticing, I'm like, wow, these are really positive people. I really love this culture, this running culture. They just seem to be a great people. And I heard myself say in my head, but I could never do that. And I, all of a sudden I just got hit. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that even in my head. I can't believe I said I couldn't do something. So I've been, obsessed is really the only appropriate word. Obsessed with the art of self-development, crafting myself into the best version of me for about 10 years. And so when I heard myself say that, I'm like, oh crap, I've got to do it. So that day I signed up for a half marathon and I started training. I ran a half marathon 8 weeks later. And granted, I am not fast. I am a slower runner, but I can go pretty far. And then from there, I just said, okay, I didn't think that was possible, but I did it. Because I really love challenging my mind. And I believe when we challenge ourselves outside of our own comfort zones, that's where the growth is. So from there, I thought, well, a marathon is surely not possible for me. So let's sign up for one. So I signed up for a marathon and I did that successfully last fall. I actually ran about an hour faster than I thought I would. I'm a big time preparer. So I prepared for absolutely every contingency I went through, like envisioning things. And I knew, okay, this is what I'll do if this happens. I knew I could do it like by the end of it because I trained well and I just prepared myself and I did that. And then I got done with that. And I'm like, what's next? And so I signed up, I read the book, and now this book is not for everybody, but David Goggins, Can't Hurt Me.
Oh God, I mean, that's so good.
It's such a good book, but you have, like you said, if you're listening to this right now, don't read that book. You'll be super offended. I mean, he's crass and he's offensive, But he challenges you to say, what else is possible that I don't think is? Like, I love it that he says, when you think you're at your max capacity, when you think you've reached your limit, you're at 40%.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just everything. So I signed up for a 50-mile ultramarathon the day after I read it.
Oh, no. I mean, oh, yes. That's, I didn't get quite that effect, but I'm like, gosh, that guy is tough. I'm not that tough, but you did it. That's great. That's incredible.
Yeah. And I mean, it wasn't going well for a long time too. And I'm a big believer too, that my brain is only a piece of the puzzle, that I believe that God created things strategically. He's strategic, like strategy is like everything to me. It's my favorite word, probably strategy. But we are meant to need each other. And I only have a piece of the puzzle. I don't have all of the knowledge that I need. So I'm always looking for the best resources. And so I went and actually, I wasn't doing well with my training. My weekly runs weren't happening. I first time I still did my long runs on the weekends, which are technically harder. But just fitting it into my schedule and keeping the mindset of the importance of every little run. So I went and hired a coach. So I'm a big believer in, if you can't find the help in friends, hire it. Because you are going to just triple down on the results you get if you get the right help.
Exactly. Incredible. Okay. Well, let's shift gears a little bit. Let's talk more about your spirituality. I know you have an interesting story about finding the location and funding for your chiropractic office. And also you have an interesting story that felt like you were led to create the Professional Optimist. So I want you to tell me how those tie in together. Or if they don't, just start with the chiropractic office and then we'll move into the Professional Optimist. But you're very optimistic and I really want to hear these stories. They just sound incredible based on the show notes I got from you. And please narrate it to us. Let us know how you found this space and so on.
So I'm going to back up for one thing, just from what a little thing you just said. You said I'm very optimistic. Yep. And by meeting me and talking to me, I do sound optimistic, but I actually consider myself a pragmatist. I am practical. If it doesn't have practical application in my life, I don't have time for it. Like I said, like we talked before, I'm busy. Like my life is full in a good way. And I don't have time for things that don't improve my lives and the lives of the clients that I work with and my children's lives. So I find optimism to be highly practical. Optimism to me, the professional optimist, I'm going to go with that one first, is to me what it means to be a professional optimist. It is my profession. I do a lot of things. Right. But when you ask me my actual profession, I am a professional optimist.
Ah.
To me, my job is to optimize myself and my life to help those in the world. And so that's what I consider a professional optimist.
Love
it's
it.
My job to craft me, take the gifts I have and make them expand to meet the needs of others. So that's what is what that is. And then I'll jump back into the chiropractic office. So it was kind of a cool story. Back when my husband got out of chiropractic school and I got out of nursing school about the same time. We had a two-year-old and a 2-month-old when we were done with school. Mm-hmm. And at that time, we were really good at being broke. You know, we lived frugally. So we came out of school with about $250,000 of student loans. No other debt other than that. We've always been very wise financially. But we could not get a business loan because of that. You know, our debt to income ratio was just too off. And now we see that as a blessing, but it was pretty terrifying at the time because we knew we wanted to own our own practice. In chiropractic, you know, it's just very advantageous to own your own if you have business sense. So we knew we wanted to do that. And there was a practice for sale here in Madison, Wisconsin. Really great people. And we really wanted this business. But when we crunched numbers, we just realized it was not worth it for us. And so we walked away from this cute little practice and we're in the parking lot. We literally said out loud, if only we could just take over their lease and buy their equipment. And we let it go. So within the next few weeks, my husband had interviewed with another local chiropractor. We decided, you know, we really felt led to be in Madison. So we were going to take this opportunity. We was about to sign a contract with this other doctor who's a fantastic human. And about 2 days before he was going to sign a contract, it came back up on the market of this other clinic, take over our lease and buy our equipment. And it was, you know, so serendipitous. I think Albert Einstein has a quote where he says, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous.
Mm.
And it came back up on the market and how much the equipment was exactly how much we made doing a house flipping chiropractic school. The exact amount. Like, not coincidence. That's not coincidence. That's how he worked. And so we jumped in. We jumped in. My husband was a neuroscientist before he became a chiropractor. So he worked on his old job at the UW University. He did research there before he was a chiropractor. So he worked about 15 hours a week in the evenings. And I got a job as a home health nurse. And we literally juggled babies. I hustled on expos. I did the marketing during the week. I don't know how we made it through that stage. To be honest, it's very like fuzzy and cloudy, that stage of life. But we put in our time, we sacrificed, and we cash flowed month one. Like, we're very grateful. And now we have a business 10 years in that's very successful because, first of all, my husband's an amazing chiropractor and just all around amazing human. But we put in the time and we just listened to God's voice and followed it. And all of the struggles and all the stresses of not being able to get those loans worked out for our good. So it was pretty cool.
That's very inspiring. I greatly appreciate you sharing that with us. Let's go back to the professional optimist. Why do you like this the most? You know, out of everything you've ever done, you've been doing this for 5 years, and just elaborate a little bit more on what you're doing and what you're trying to accomplish. I'm sure the listeners would love to hear more. And you know, your website's incredible. You got YouTube videos going. You're coaching. You're doing all kinds of stuff. Why don't you just elaborate more on what you're doing, more about why and what it is to be the professional optimist daily, living in and out of that lifestyle. I know you've shared a little bit already, but let's just elaborate a little bit further.
Absolutely. So one of the things I try to do when making any decisions in my life is I try to imagine, I actually named her. Her name is Lorraine. Mm-hmm. There's this old woman named Lorraine. She's in her 90s. I actually found a stock photo off the internet and I have it on almost every slide I do, any PowerPoint presentation. Lorraine is in this. And Lorraine is my 90-year-old version of me. So what I do is I imagine asking her, Lorraine, what do you think of this decision? Do you think this is wise? Because Lorraine is not just some random old person, you know, because we usually look at age with wisdom, you know, kind of correlate those two together. But not, Lorraine is not just any 90-year-old woman. She is a 90-year-old me. She knows my personality. She knows my core values. She knows my faith. She knows everything that's important to me, but she's wiser. She's gone through more life challenges. So she's going to be the person I want to give me advice, because I do believe we need to listen to that intuition. And I do believe God speaks through that kind of that inner voice, which is a combination of like our intuition and Him working together. And so with what I put my time into, especially like the professional optimist, when I ask myself, where do I want to put my time? Because time is the only resource we can't get back. We can always make more money. That's why I take a lot of chances with money. Like, I make wise choices, but I take chances because I know I can get more if something goes off, but I can't get more time. So with the professional optimist, I believe that I have the most opportunity to do the greatest good for humanity.
Okay.
And the reason I think that is, like, you know, chiropractic is super important. We get people out of pain. You can't live fully if you're in pain. It's such an important thing. And my husband does so much good. And, you know, real estate's really fun. I love it. It's a hobby. It's a hobby that makes money, which is wonderful. But when I think about like a professional optimist, the things I talk about, I've lived. I joke that I only talk about things I naturally suck at, like living intentionally, being self-disciplined, creating schedules, creating positive habit formation, crafting my life in such a way that I get the most results. Because for so many years, I did just live in that survival mode. And it's so sad when I see other people around me just trying to survive and they're not able to use their gifts for the greater good. They're not able to help their neighbor. They're not able to contribute outside of their own little pocket in their own little world, because they're just trying to make it, whether that's financially, whether that's in their thought life. They're so negative or they're so depressed that they can't think in possibilities, or they don't have that hope. And that just breaks my heart when people don't see the potential, because I believe that we are each on this earth for a reason. And if we aren't activated, we can't help each other.
Right. Do you feel like there's a cap, like some people are hitting a ceiling? They just, and it's not because they don't know that they can do more, but they're just, it's their environment. It's the people they talk to. It's their lifestyle. Maybe they don't know that they can do more or achieve, you know, greater success, whatever that looks like for them. But do you feel like there's some kind of, there's something that's capping them that's allowing them to stay steady where they're at and some kind of like waddling lifestyle versus being set free to live up to their fullest potential?
Absolutely. You know, I think you said it there at the beginning of that, who you're around mm-hmm. is who you become. And I think I love Tony Robbins. He always says, you get your standards. You get what you need, not what you want. So if you raise your standards of like, okay, this is the type of person I want to be, so this is only the type of person I'm going to spend time with. And obviously there's some flexibility in that, because like, what if your family is a jerk or something? Right. You don't want, I don't believe in disowning our family, but maybe we need to limit the time we spend with that person and then put more time into people that are not just your friends, but your allies. I really like that description. Who are the people that are believe in you and who love you, but will not flatter, will tell you in love, hey, I don't know if this is wise. Maybe you want to look at this again. Maybe we should discuss this and walk through this together. Who are the people that are going to pour into you, and thus you can pour into them also, that will help you to grow as a group? That's what I'm a big fan of, mastermind groups. I'm in one, and I'm starting another one. And actually, we're going to be using one of my income properties to meet at quarterly so that we can, you know, raise all of our standards. We're actually calling it Rising Tides Mastermind, because when the rising tide lifts all boats, we want to help each other together. And I know that that works. When you're around certain people, you become like them. So strategically put the right people in your life. And if you don't know who to hang out with, ask around. Just start getting curious. And just, you know, join groups, follow, like, just start expecting that, and you're going to start finding ways to find those people or ask around.
Yeah, you're right. Proximity is power. I don't think you said it just like that, but that's, yeah, I mean, it's so important to get around like-minded entrepreneurs if you're an entrepreneur, or even if you're in the ministry or whatever it is that you like, you get around that type of crowd, and then to also be around people that are type of people that want, that you want to be like, whether you want to be negative or you want to be whatever, optimistic. I mean, you've got to select that crowd, and you know, it's only a few hours after you're around these people, you start tending to those habits and whatnot. But I've seen it all through my life. I'm almost 40 years old, and it's amazing that is such a true statement. So, I think you hit it right there on the nail right there on the head with a hammer. But anyways, let's move on. Why don't you tell me about some good books you've read recently, and tell me about what you've read the most in the last several years.
Cool. Books are my favorite topic. I love resources. I'm like a squirrel gathering acorns. I see like books and resources as I'm gathering up all these resources to hand out to the people at the right stance. I don't know if you've ever taken StrengthsFinders before. I'm a huge assessment junkie. Mm-hmm. But one of the strengths on there is called input, and it's one of my top. And it's just a kind of like obsessive need for information to be able to doll it out and be like, ooh, use this little bit of wisdom. It's going to change your life. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of a compulsion. So the three books that I like, if I really love a book, I'll read it, then I'll listen to the audiobook, and then I'll read it again and annotate. So I dig in, because especially certain books, there's just so much information. I don't want to gloss over it and not gain all that wisdom out of it. So the one I'm just listening, you know, reading for the second time, and I had listened to it once too, was Deep Work by Cal Newport. Mm. So the subtitle is Rules for Focused Success in a Distracted World.
Wow.
And like I said, I try to get away quarterly because my life is busier. And so it's hard to have clarity in that chaos. That's one big thing I always, it's one of my quotes. Right. You can't have clarity in chaos. So the more you can get away, and he talked a lot about that. There's a lot of people like Mark Twain and different writers and scientists where they literally had to get out of Dodge. Some people even built like little cabins in the woods so they could get out and have clear thinking time. That's what my cabin is for me too, is just having time to get away, to ask yourself specific and really deep questions and figure out what's important and am I going after that? Does my life align that way? Are my choices getting me towards that future? So deep work, that's just a fraction of it. There's so much good in there, from how to set up proper emails to filter out all the garbage so you don't have to waste your time. There's so many tactics and techniques in this book. It's by far my favorite book of 2019 that I've read.
Okay. And that was the Cal Newport book?
Cal Newport. And then okay. The other one, I'm a habit formation junkie. I love habit formation because when you have a full life, mm-hmm. there are certain things you have to do and there's certain things you don't have to do. Like I said, you sub out the things you don't need to do. It's scary hiring people to clean your house when you know you could, but if you took that off your plate, it'd be better. But there are certain things you have to do. And when you can form a habit around those behaviors, it becomes automatic and it takes that effort out of it. So High Performance Habits by Brendon Burchard is one of my favorite books that I've read / listened to 2-3 times. And he kind of talks about a lot of great points. It's all based off a research study that he did with a university for a couple of years and just thousands of people that have gone through his programs too. And he has like a chapter about seeking clarity. They're very similar. I love reading about and learning about getting clarity in your life because you cannot make proper decisions without clarity. Mm-hmm. If you're making decisions in that reaction mode and not really stepping back and saying, does this line up with what I want and believe? Mm-hmm. You're going to have a different life.
Exactly. So that's by Brendon Burchard. Okay. We're going to put that in the show notes. And what was your third book?
So my third book is actually on a little bit different. I love nonfiction. So let's see, what I have it right behind me. The Lauren Gonzalez wrote it called Deep Survival. The subtitle is Who Lives, Who Dies, and Why.
Wow.
So it sounds very morbid, but it's all these different stories of survival. And there's this one amazing gentleman, I can't remember his name. He was on his sailboat doing like across the ocean trip. And all of a sudden his sailboat started sinking and his pack was, he had a really prepared pack in case something happened, but it was underneath in the boat galley. And he had to make a split decision. Does he dive under it and risk death, or does he just forego it? But he knew in that split second, he was able to make a decision that he knew he would die within days if he didn't get that pack. So he dove under and he just made it out. And so the book kind of goes through all kinds of these really exciting stories, terrifying things like sharks and all that stuff. But it details the mind of somebody who tends to survive. It has to do with perspective and it has to do with gaining clarity. The number one thing is the person who can get clear and rational as soon as possible, usually the one that survives.
Right.
So it sounds like clarity is the word that's connecting all these books.
Yeah. Let's
really interesting read though. I loved it.
Yeah. Let's stop right there. You're bringing up something that just made me want to ask you this. So you were quoting a lot of people. You were remembering a lot of these books very detailed, in a very detailed manner. How do you remember everything as well as you do? Because a lot of times people read books and it just doesn't imprint into their minds like it would for somebody like you. What's the key to remembering the quotes from Tony Robbins or whoever, everybody you're talking about, to remembering these books as detailed as you do? And so on and so forth. I mean, there's definitely something there I see that you're very good at. And I wanted to just see if you might know a pinpoint or a trigger there that you might could let us know about.
Yeah, I'd say several things. First, the first thing that comes to my mind is I read books that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. So if I'm curious about it, like if there's a topic that I'm curious about, especially that could help me or my clients, because I tend to coach people. I do growth and accountability coaching. So I coach people on things that are very similar to maybe what I'm going through, high achievers who don't want to sacrifice their family life and want to have more success without having to give up their family. So anyways, I read books that are interesting to me and I know are of value. So when I'm reading them, I'm looking for life-changing ideas. Mm-hmm. I'm not reading this book for entertainment. I am digging in. And one of the things that I do is I take notes. I'm actually developing a system. I don't have it like down because sometimes I don't have my highlighters with me. So I do a lot of public speaking. So I will have one highlighter color for a quote that I want to talk about in a talk. I'll have a highlighter that of like, so I can flip through a book and say, oh, there's all my blue notes. And I know that these blue ones go to Blue River Chiropractic. Maybe I want to talk to my staff about that or use this to inspire them. So I have different things, but I just take notes. And I think anytime, so I like write little notes. I underline things as I read. And like I said, I'm curious about it and it's my fun too. So those things combined.
Okay.
And I just need the depth and importance of resources. Being a resource is one of the most satisfying things in the world to me. So half of what I do is give out resources. I'm like, because I know I don't have all the answers, but if you have an issue that's in within my realm, you can absolutely bet I have a resource for it and I'll find a solution.
Yeah, you're a little bit of a polymath, know a lot. A little bit about a lot. And you're also somewhat of an information broker. So you basically have a note-taking system. How do you memorize all mm-hmm. the quotes that you memorize? I've seen some of your videos and you're always constantly like just brokering that information out to people. So what's the key there?
I mean, I don't work on it. I don't
comes natural.
Have a good short-term memory. So I just think it's just so important that it imprints on me. For instance, I'm about to put out a video. I ran 20 miles on Saturday. I was doing a training run. It was actually kind of terrifying. I was at this state park and there were wolf tracks all over the place. And so I was like, oh, I'm going to run a little faster. That's kind of scary. Yeah. But I did stop and I made a video because I was listening to another book, Relentless by Tim Grover, another one to take with a grain of salt, mother. But he talks a lot about like high performers, as in like Michael Jordan. He's an athletic trainer for a lot of NBA professionals. And he had a quote that like, I literally stopped. I took out my phone out of my pack and I put it in the notes section because it was so powerful. I'll share it with you. Yeah. And then I did a quick little video on it because it was I just felt the importance of it. Okay. So he says in the book Relentless by Tim Grover, when you are great, you trust your instincts. When you are unstoppable, your instincts trust you. Mm-hmm. And I just felt that power come over me. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so important. And it kind of brings me back to my running of why I'm doing it. So what this quote means to me is, okay, when you're great, you trust your instincts. When you're unstoppable, your instincts trust you. Well, that can mean a few different things to a few different people. What it means to me is, does your subconscious mind, your instincts, I believe, live in your subconscious mind? Does it trust your rational judgment? So one of the reasons I'm training for this marathon is ultra marathon is because throughout my childhood, because of my natural personality, I didn't follow through on things. I didn't finish things. Well, what happens when you have a person in your life that constantly fails you? Like when we first started talking about me being on this podcast, I said, to be honest, I don't have big, huge failures. I have everyday failures. I feel like I failed myself and it's affected my confidence level to the point where I don't trust my own decisions or I, for a good amount of time, relied too heavily upon other people's opinions, which I do believe it's wise to get counsel. But there's times where it's just you and God and then you have to just dig in and trust your own judgment because you know best sometimes. And so for that quote impacted me so deeply because it just reaffirmed the reason I'm training for these races is because I said I'm going to do it and I am going to keep my word to myself. Okay. Because when you keep your word to yourself, it gives confidence. When you have that confidence and that next big decision make comes out, like, David Goggins talks about, he has a concept called his cookie jar in his book, Can't Hurt Me. So he has this mental cookie jar where he reaches into it and pulls out a cookie. And a cookie, it metaphorically, is something he's done in the past that he didn't think he could do, but he accomplished. So this race to me is going to be a cookie in my cookie jar. When I come across the next hard thing that I don't think is possible for me, I say, nope, look, you did that. nope, look, you did that. And I am reinforcing that I can do hard things because I'm trying to craft that into my identity. Because when you believe something about yourself, your behaviors match. So I am investing in myself and I'm learning to trust myself. So my instincts trust me.
I love it. I love it. Let me ask one more question, then we'll go into the rapid fire. I incorporated one of my rapid fire questions into your background because I knew it would tie in, which was about books. But I do like to talk about failures. And I know you said you have failures every day. But I do know that multiple failures equals true success if you do not give up. And you haven't given up. You're out there doing amazing things daily. And everything that you do, what was one of the most profound failure, something that just did not work out the way you thought it would, but you learned from it and maybe it catapulted mindset shifting that you have now and or led to, let's just say, a chiropractic business succeeding or whatever the background, whatever the story is, what's something that's really kind of like, you know, just affected you in a positive way, and you just didn't give up?
You know, I can't really come up with one big main thing, but when it comes down to it with failures, like I said, it's like those everyday little things for me. Mm-hmm. And one thing I've crafted into my identity, I actually say out loud to myself, is I am bent towards action. So even when I fail on something, say I don't go for a run one day and it's part of my training plan, I get really hard on myself because I have high expectations because I know things are possible. So I get hard. I feel down and I feel hard on myself. So I actually will negotiate with myself. There's this psychologist named Jordan Peterson out of Canada that I follow, and brilliant. And he talks about negotiating with yourself. This is a tactic I use when I do feel like I'm failing myself. I negotiate with myself. So one day I was supposed to do a 4-mile training run. And so I said, oh, I have to do a 4-mile training run. Let's go do it. And I kind of talked to myself like in second person, which probably sounds crazy, but hey, it worked for me. Mm-hmm. Are you willing to do that? And I'm like, nope, I'm not. Well, how about a 3 mile? Nope. 2 mile? Nope. 1 mile? Nope. And I finally said to myself, what are you willing to do? And I came up with it. I'm willing to put on my running clothes and go touch the mailbox.
Yeah.
And so I actually did that. I put my running clothes on and I went out and I touched the mailbox. I took a picture because it seems profound of me touching the mailbox. And well, what do you think I did? I'm already outside. I already have my running clothes on. I went and ran 4 miles because I got past that first initial step. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden I told myself, hey, I'm not failing. I am doing something. And I just keep on trying. I find a new technique. I find a new tactic. I find out how I'm personally wired and motivated because, hey, what works for me might not work for you. Mm-hmm. So I just keep trying. And by sheer force, will, God's grace, I keep going. And when you keep going, good things happen.
Yeah. I love it. Let's wrap up with some rapid fire questions. I've got 4 questions for you. You can answer them as long or as short as you want. What's your favorite movie and why?
Okay. I have 2 favorite movies. I like The Greatest Showman, which is hilarious because I don't really like musicals. I don't enjoy them. But I love his vision. The main character in there, I loved how he had a vision for something bigger than anybody else could see. I feel like my vision for some of my stuff, especially the professional optimist and some of my real estate, it's almost embarrassing sometimes. Like, I don't want to tell most people how big my vision is for it, but it's big and I want it. I believe that if I can be successful, I can be more generous and help other people that way too. And then the other one, this is total opposite, Taken with Liam Neeson. It's total badass.
Yeah.
He's like, his daughter gets abducted and he's like going after people. And like, I value, I see myself as like a tough person. Like, I can rebound from things and I would totally be doing that. So I don't know. That movie was just sheer entertainment. Yeah. So those 2 movies.
Perfect. I love both of them actually. And I'm just like you, as far as musicals, I hate musicals. There's only 2 of them that I like, The Greatest Showman. And there was one with Ryan Gosling a couple of years ago, La La Land. I really enjoyed that one.
Yeah.
That was the first one I actually liked. And then I actually went to the movie theater and looked at or watched The Greatest Showman thinking it was a biopic with no musical entailed. But I walked in and they're singing within 5 minutes. I'm like, what in the hell?
powerful too.
but it was it was so amazing and inspiring. And it's like I was there from beginning to end, and it just captivated me. But I completely agree with you on that.
My Pandora has been playing the Greatest Showman soundtrack for some reason. It knows that I like it somehow now. I guess Siri is listening to my words, I guess. But it's really motivating when I'm running. I notice I'm running a lot faster when I'm listening to those songs.
that's great. What's your best advice for your 20-year-old self?
I say this to my 20-year-old self, and I say this to anybody listening. You need to believe in yourself. You are not meant to be perfect, but you have these specific gifts in you that if you pour into them and you grow who you are, you can do anything. You can do so much more and you can have so much more impact. It doesn't need to be what your neighbor's doing. It doesn't need to be in the world standards of greatness. You might work at Target. I have mentoring this woman who works at Target in the self-checkout lane. And she's a single mother, but she wants bigger things for herself. But it doesn't have to be this grandiose entrepreneurial endeavor. It's what satisfies you, what do you use your gifts with, and how can you help other people? That's what's important in the end of the times. Lorraine, the 90-year-old version of you, whatever your middle name is, name that person. In the end, you have more in you. Go after it, grow yourself, and help people.
I actually like the fact that you envision yourself as an older lady and you're talking to yourself that way. That's
it works.
Awesome.
Yeah. It works for me.
I guarantee it.
I'll send you a picture of Lorraine.
Oh, please do.
She's adorable. She's cute, this little lady.
Well, I can identify. My great grandmother lived to be 100 years old, passed away right after she turned 100. And I know exactly what my envisioning of a 90-year-old lady would look like. What would your friends say your superpowers are? The people that are closest to you.
Yeah, my close friends would say, it's funny because the people close to me might say something that it's my strength, and the people who maybe are not super close to me might think it's an annoyance. But when somebody has a problem, I like to dig into it and I like to find a solution and strategically make a plan to change it. So I believe in activating people, finding that strategic solution, activating people and making them make a commitment to move forward for momentum and progress. So people in my life get results, whether they want to or not sometimes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you were to give a TED talk about something that nobody knows about you or anything you speak on, what would it be about?
That's a great question. I had to think about that one for a few minutes because I do speak pretty regularly in our area. I'm like, okay, what have I not spoken on? Well, so what I came up with is developing a proper mindset for ultra running and how that can translate into everyday life. Like when you're going after something that you just don't think is possible. Like right now, I'm thinking about that 50-mile ultra marathon. I had a marathon last year. It was still pretty tough. I mean, I did well, but it was still pretty tough. And now I want to go double that. So if I just look at it with that broad perspective of like, I'm going to go run 50 miles and I let myself stay in that thought for too long, I could get some pretty big anxiety and get pretty terrified. Mm-hmm. But so what I do is I shrink it back down and talk about, okay, what are the daily things I need to remind myself? What are the actions I need to do? So I develop a plan, not only with my actions, but also my thoughts. So I've even developed things like, okay, if I'm feeling a certain way, if I'm feeling fear and anxiety, I've developed a playlist on YouTube because I use YouTube a lot instead of other music platforms where I will literally go to this and play this playlist because it changes my neurochemistry to kick me out of it. So teaching people how to handle scary things and go after them, even though they're afraid. And how to get it is what I'd probably talk about.
Powerful. All right. Well, I thank you so much for being here for the last hour, 52 minutes and 39 seconds to be exact.
That went fast.
It did. I greatly appreciate you being here and teaching us how to rise above the ashes. Do you have any final thoughts and Actually, before we go there, give the listeners all of your social media handles. That way they can find you.
Sure. On Facebook, it's just The Professional Optimist. Mm-hmm. I believe it's Professional Optimist on Instagram. I'm on LinkedIn if you want to connect with me there. Just look up Kimberly Zahavsky. And my YouTube channel is The Professional Optimist. So just Google me. You'll find me.
All right. Sounds great. Well, thank you again for teaching us how to rise above the ashes in your own way. And Kimberly, it was a pleasure. Thank you. Thank you for listening to Rise Above the Ashes, the podcast. Please subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Learn more at our website at riseabovetheashes.com.